9 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Thanks to Altitude's Chris Dempsey, to Connor McGahee, also Corey Hitchcock, the Palisade Boys basketball coach, and Leah Redding, too, signing today with Colorado Mesa. So for our Keto question of the day today, we're going to do it tomorrow. We're going to cast our Blue Steel Super Bowl 50 movie. We thought, you know, since Showtime's doing the Laker film, Lakers, of course, and the Celtics, that great rivalry back in the 80s, we'd do our own Blue Steel Super Bowl 50 film. And if you haven't followed the program, Blue Steel is what we called the Bronco defense. I know a lot of people, the no-fly zone, but we felt like that didn't...
The look I'm best known for thank you. Blue Steel.
Didn't include the entire defense. It was more secondary-oriented. So we thought,
right,
let's come up with a cool name like Blue Steel. Thank you, Zoolander. Appreciate that. And so we're going to cast the movie. We're going to do this tomorrow, start picking out actors. We need your suggestions today, though, on the real-life people we need to have in this film. John Elway's the lock. Gary Kubiak. Wade Davis. Whoa, I'm going back to baseball. Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
Wade Phillips.
And Vernon Davis. I
was thinking Vernon Davis, Super Bowl starter Vernon Davis.
Yes.
You know, lost, and of course, Vaughn, PFM, those guys will be cast. But who do you think should be cast in the film? Cam Newton, of course, has to be cast as well. And they can't play themselves. It has to be an actor that you cast for these roles. So we'll do kind of the casting tomorrow, trying to flesh out today. Who will we cast in this film? Send it to us today. It's our Qdoba question of the day today, 970-242-1340. All right, we start at the 9 o'clock hour with a visit with Colorado Mesa football coach Tremaine Jackson. Tremaine, I appreciate the time. How are you?
Doing well, Jim. How about you guys?
Doing fine. Spring football, getting ready to wrap up here. Of course, you have the spring game coming up this Saturday noon over at Stoker Stadium. So just give us kind of a description, in your opinion, your thoughts about what you've seen from your players during your chance to finally have your first ever spring football practice.
Yeah, well, it's been a long road, you know, we've come a mighty long way, Jim, from the last time you probably saw us to now. I think we've gotten better in a lot of different areas, and, man, we just look forward to finishing up healthy this week and having a lot of fun. It's football week here on campus, which our spring game concludes that week, and we look forward to having a lot of fun with these guys that we got and getting ready for August fall camp after some time off.
Tremaine Jackson, coach of the Maverick football team, with us on the Team Sports Network. Where do you feel like you've seen, Tremaine, maybe the biggest improvement on your football team through spring drills? Been the offensive line,
yep,
other areas? Exactly. Give us an idea. Give us some thoughts about where you're pleased with the progress you've seen from a particular unit.
Yeah, we're really pleased with the O&D lines. One of the things we looked to improve the fastest when we got here was our offensive and defensive line play. And we think we've recruited well, still got some guys on the way in those positions. But that's probably where you see the biggest difference. The other area is that corner. We played last year with three corners. And now I think we've got six or seven guys at that position, and it's a fight every day to see who's going to be the starter. And so I'm really pleased with those three areas. You know, Jim, we believe that if you're good and on the O&D lines, at corner and at quarterback, you got a chance to win it every year. And so now we've addressed three out of those four. We still got to do some things at quarterback and find our guy, but we look forward to doing that real soon.
Tremaine Jackson, coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks football team, with us. The spring game is this Saturday noon over at Stoker Stadium. And you mentioned the quarterback spot, and we've talked about Gavin Herbert got the chance to start there last year as a freshman, a talented young guy from Pine Creek. How is that quarterback battle looking right now with certainly a guy like Gavin Herbert who got experience during that abbreviated fall schedule for the football team? What does it look like at quarterback right now?
Yeah, well, we've got him, and we've got Logan Bollinger, who has been a real surprise this spring. I think in our new offense, he's really thriving. He's putting a lot of pressure on the position, so we still don't have a legitimate name starter yet. Those two guys are battling it out, and we look, you know, in the summer we're going to decide on a guy, but right now it's fun to watch those two guys compete. Both of them do really good things, and Jim, we're in a better place than we were a year ago. from a quarterback situation. Those two guys are really fighting, and they, you've seen the growth in them over the last 6 months.
Jermaine Jackson, coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks football team, with us today on the Team Sports Network. You have a new offensive coordinator in Braylee Brown. Had a chance to meet Braylee a while back, also Trent Early that's on your staff. But Braylee brings in his offensive system. Obviously, you feel like some guys like Bollinger have started to kind of adapt to that, figure it out. What are some of the differences we'll see from the little bit we got to see last year play with that offensive scheme with what you have now with Braylee Brown?
I think Braylee brings a creativity that we didn't have, that I haven't seen in this conference. When you look at the things he was able to do at his previous school, it was really creative. They didn't have a lot of talent, and he made things happen with what he had. And I think we're doing the same thing, and I think we've got a little bit better talent pool than where he came from. And so we look forward to the run game being expanded on, and then some things that we're doing in the RPO game is just next level. It's things that you guys might see at a Saturday night SEC game. That's not being done on this level right now, quite obviously. And so him being creative, him being a quarterback himself that played recently, and being able to relate to players, it'll be an exciting brand of offensive football that people would love to see, I believe.
And a chance to see it this Saturday, noon, over at Stoker Stadium. So what are some of the things going on around the spring game? Give us an idea of what's going to happen, Tremaine, on Saturday with the spring game at Stoker.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it's football week. We've got events going on here all week. But on Saturday, we drafted teams last night. We had a draft that we put out there on social media, had some number one picks, booze in the stands, treated it just like the NFL draft. I even got booed as the commissioner, Jim. These kids actually booed me.
Tough crowd, Jermaine. tough crowd.
So we split into Cardinal and White teams, and our coordinators are head coaches, and our position coaches are now coordinators, and our captains, our seniors, they split into teams and drafted teams themselves. And so I think what you'll see is you'll see an evenly matched game. It's not just offense versus defense like the scrimmages. These were strategic picks in certain areas, and we're going to try to play it as game-like as possible. We're going to eliminate a lot of the kicking game, but it'll be fun, full-fledged tackle football on a Saturday afternoon, trying to give ourselves a preview of what September 4th is going to look like.
And it sounds like good weather for Saturday, too, so that's always a good thing to get some folks out there. So, of course, we're going to be outdoors, so social distancing, mm-hmm. not a problem, so this is free to the public to come out and watch. Anything else going to be associated with this, with the game on Saturday?
No, it won't be this time. Families will be there. We're going to let our guys go and spend time with their families. I would like to say, Jim, I really appreciate you and your show and this community for showing up last Saturday to our free youth football camp. That was an experience that I hadn't had a chance to experience here. The kids came out K-8. Parents were there. We got a chance to talk to them, not just about football, but about life. That was really good for the Grand Junction community. And as we strive to be Grand Junction's team, I thought we took a major step that way. And so appreciate you for advertising that for us, and then appreciate this community for showing up. And hopefully we can get this community to show up in droves to support our players when the season starts.
Absolutely. Tremaine Jackson, coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks football team, with us on the team today. And you're a very busy man. You're idle hands of the devil's workshop, right? Isn't that the old saying? And in your case, there's no chance to set up that workshop because you're always busy. I know you're gonna be part of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes United Champions coming up this Friday and then Saturday night in Montrose. Mm-hmm. We talked with Prince Amakamura, Nebraska great, won a Super Bowl as a rookie with the Giants. Justin Simmons, mm-hmm. I know, has participated in the past, but Justin, of course, the great safety for the Broncos, can't be there, but he's sending mm-hmm. a video. And you're going to be there as well. You're going to have to pick up some of that Justin Simmons slack since he's not going to be there. Jermaine, you're going to have to carry the ball for that NFL guy, right?
Well, I've been known to carry it pretty well. I'm going to get you some yards, Jim.
All right, very good.
I'm just excited. I'm excited to be a part of that. Thank you. I'd like to thank the FCA for even thinking of me when it comes to that. But we definitely, it's like I told you when the first time I talked to you, Jim, we want to be knee deep in our community in every aspect. And so I'm just the vessel to go do that. But really excited to listen to those guys' stories and and get to know the people that's going to be there.
And don't forget, you can still get tickets for that. There's no charge, but they have to do a head count for it. And it's coming up this Friday, Victory Life Church out in Fruita, and then in Montrose at the Montrose Event Center on Saturday night. So a chance to get in the live auction. There's going to be the dinner, dessert, silent live auctions. Should be a lot of fun. Go to westerncoloradofca.com. Once again, tickets are free, but they do need a head count, so you do need to go there and RSVP. So, and chance to check out what's going on with Maverick football with Coach Jackson. We'll be there on Friday and Saturday. And don't forget, the spring game is this Saturday at noon over at Stoker Stadium. Free to Maverick fans, free to everybody to get out there and watch the 2021 edition of the Colorado Mesa football team. Can't wait for the season to start, Tremaine. It's a nice little appetizer to tide us over at least for a little while.
Absolutely, Jim. And we, again, we appreciate you and all that you do for us and your show. And we look forward to getting out there and hitting somebody square in the face.
All right. Very good. Check it out this Saturday noon at Stoker Stadium, the Mavericks football scrimmage. Tremaine, always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. Go Mavs.
Go Mavs. Take care. Rumble Mavs, Tremaine Jackson, Maverick football coach. And just all-around public speaker. I mean, these guys all over the place constantly doing events like this, like the FCA, not a champion. So,
and the commish in the Cardinal and White draft.
Yeah.
Got booed.
You got to love that, right? The guys have they have the guts to boo their head coach. Oh, right. Come on. Why didn't you draft me there? Come on.
That's funny.
That's pretty good. All right. So once again, that is Saturday noon over at Stoker Stadium, the spring football scrimmage. All right, 9-12, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy, Locked on Broncos podcast host Cody Rourke will join us. We'll talk draft, and we're going to focus mostly on the offensive side of the football. The direction he thinks the Broncos will go, assuming they stay at the ninth pick, or does Cody think that maybe they'll try to trade up or trade back? So we'll get his thoughts coming up in just a little bit. We're still looking to cast who's going to be in our Blue Steel Super Bowl 50 film.
Mm-hmm.
The real people that, of course, were part of that story.
Yeah.
And
the look I'm best known for is Blue Steel.
Thank you. And Jared had suggested Dave Chappelle. Or no, did he suggest Chappelle or somebody else did? He says Dave Chappelle's gotten jacked the past couple of years. Well, he's gotten... is he jacked? Jared, I don't know if he's jacked. I think he's lost some weight, so maybe that's, you know what, if you could bring him into play.
He's looking pretty swole last time I saw him.
Yeah, he's not, he's bigger. I don't know if he's really super defined, though. He's a little bigger.
But, I mean, Keeb Talib and Chris Harris, they weren't necessarily super jacked themselves either.
Talib was fairly cut, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, Chappelle could get there, I'm sure.
Chappelle would be fine, I think Dave would. I think he'd do quite well in that role.
I think so.
I think he would. All right, we got one. Let's see. We got one from Tom, that was a guess. Those are some
We're still looking for the correct answer for the number game.
Could give it to us again.
So Rocky's been shut out their last two games. The offense has been just killing it in LA and San Francisco. Give me the last year, the number of the time the Rockies were shut out in back-to-back games. I'll give you a hint. Did not happen in the 60-gamer last year.
So we're still looking for a correct answer.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the Junction Square, small Anapasto salad, send it in, 970-242-1340.
The last year the Rockies were shut out in back-to-back games. It was the Giants that did it, by the way, in San Francisco. That may come as no surprise to anybody.
All right, Steve, did you say sorry about the latex last night? No, the late
Steve
text, because I texted Connor McGahee late last night, which, right. my version of late.
Anything after 7:30. That's for me.
Yeah, I'm probably 8.
Mm-hmm.
I texted him like 8:20.
It's variable, sure.
Because I got the text from Peter McNabb that he couldn't come on.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay. Do I text Connor now? So I was apologizing for the late
text.
Not the latex. Steve.
Never apologize for that.
Steve. the late text.
Come on, Steve.
Come on, Steve. Let's see. Die Hard Keith's got a guess.
Let's see if Die Hard Keith is correct as I switch over screens. He is not, and he is not again. Both texts are, both guesses
strike
are
one,
wrong.
Strike two. So think about it, Die Hard. Once again, we've had Die Hard Keith send in one. Let's see. Seth has sent in a guess.
Ruben's casting Peyton
okay.
Manning.
Okay. I think Meryl Streep would be an excellent Peyton Manning. Let's face it, awesome. She's a great actor and can play that part, and she could probably run as fast as he does. Ruben.
That's good, though.
She could definitely give him the Manning death stare.
Yeah.
Because somebody runs the wrong route and he throws a pick.
Mm-hmm. We still got some golfers on the course, but Ruben's leading in the clubhouse
That's
right now
good.
For some Qdoba.
That's pretty good. Meryl Streep.
That's funny.
Yeah. That they could CGI some stuff, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, make her taller. Put some, yeah, she could put some on some lifts, something like that. Sure. They could make her be Peyton Manning. One of the greatest actresses of our generation. Why not? That'd be a role of a lifetime, right?
Yeah.
Her
it'd be
playing
great.
Peyton Manning.
I think she could do it.
I think that is Oscar territory right
yeah.
there.
Another
no
one.
Doubt about that.
Yeah.
And for her, yes, she's mm-hmm. already been there, done that. But another Oscar opportunity. From Meryl Streep.
We have a correct answer. We're waiting for the name of the texter. But 2018.
Okay.
Last time the Rockies got shut out in back-to-back games. Both in San Francisco.
I do remember that now that you mention it.
I was going through looking at some, you know, old results. And I looked back at the three walk-off losses in Los Angeles 2 years ago. In the sweep against the Dodgers. Just where... Rookie walk-off, rookie walk-off, rookie walk-off, three straight days, three different rookies. Yikes.
Yeah.
That was bad.
All right, 917, Cody Rourke, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, will join us in just a moment. All right, nice weather is, for the most part, here. And when you think of nice weather, you think of, you know, maybe getting out and working on your car. Maybe you've got a really cool classic car, something that was maybe your high school ride or belonged to your dad or your granddad. Got a cool muscle car that just needs, well, quite a bit of TLC. So you get out there, the weekend's good, you open up the garage door, you're out there sanding away, hand sanding it, and then you look around and you realize, well, the engine needs a lot of work and I need to get to that at some point. And oh yeah, there's some rust down here by this back right fender. And you're going, I don't have the tools to do all these things. I don't have the time to do it. I've got a job. I've got things on the weekend I'd like to do with the family, or maybe just something other than working on the car. So the place to go to take that really cool car that you have, it could be an amazing automobile,
right?
Once again, is Mile High Muscle, because Jared, he has the time, he has the tools, he has the talent, the knowledge to make your automotive dream come true. Mile High Muscle, complete shop, restoration from the ground up. We're talking complete body work. A full paint bay, wiring, drivetrains, complete car restoration. He can fuel inject your engine. He can put in air conditioning to make it feel more comfortable as you're out cruising around this summer. Mile High Muscle. Give Jared a call today. He's in Delta, 990 Highway 92 in Delta. Ring him up today, 970-250-0999. That's 250-0999. Or go to milehighmuscle5.com. And start spending your weekend doing the things you want to do. Which hopefully will be eventually driving that sweet car that's completely restored by Mile High Muscle in Delta. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Colorado Sports Leader.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warp twisted individuals. Yes.
Yeah! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 923. Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy. Still rounding out who we're going to cast for our Blue Steel Super Bowl 50 film. We'll do that tomorrow. Start casting the actors to play some of the roles of Peyton Manning and John Elway and Wade Phillips and Gary Kubiak and others and Von Miller. But we'd love your suggestions on which real-life figures from that season we should cast in the film. Send that to us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. All right, the draft fast approaching. Broncos still have the ninth pick in the first round. Joining us right now to talk about who they might take on the offensive side of the football. Check out his podcast, Locked On Broncos. Cody Rourke joins us. Cody, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me here once again. A lot of opportunities for Denver to take a look at some other guys. Justin Fields having his second pro day today, so he's going to, you know, the Broncos brass are going to be out there. Pat Shurmur is going to be out there. They're going to be keeping an eye on him. Also, A.J. Durso, one of the Broncos player personnel directors, will be out there as well. So, I mean, will Justin Fields be in play for Denver? I don't know.
Who do you think might be in play for Denver at number nine of the quarterbacks? Will there be any of them in play at that point in time?
I don't think so. No, not unless you're comfortable. You know, here's how I see the board falling. I think that we're all in consensus that Trevor Lawrence going one to Jacksonville, number two, Zach Wilson to the Jets. I think at number three, I think that the 49ers, they're doing a lot of smokescreen with Mac Jones. I think it's going to be Justin Fields or Trey Lance. I think Atlanta is really going to focus on quarterback as well. So one of those players, Trey Lance or Justin Fields, will be available there at four. I think they go there. And Cincinnati, they got to go on the offensive side of the ball. They need to bring Joe Burrow some help in terms of protecting. I think Penei Sewell will go there. And then with your next pick, Detroit, I think they're going to go wide receiver. Miami's going to go with wide receiver. Detroit's going to go with wide receiver. And then at number eight, I think that you're going to see the New England Patriots try to trade up, and they might even get a guy like Mac Jones. It depends on who's available. So I think for Denver, where they're at, or if Carolina stays put at eight, I see them taking Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle out of Northwestern. So for Denver, when they're on the clock, it leaves a lot of opportunity for them to go best player available. And Jim, I don't know if you had a chance to go on the YouTube channel and see the Behind the Broncos where George Payton even said, with the moves that we've made so far this offseason, we have the opportunity to go best player available.
So, in your opinion, it's not a we're all in on getting a quarterback, going to trade up, maybe try to trade with the Falcons at number four. It's, you feel like it's going to be, we're going to stay at number nine, we'll see what comes to us at number nine, and we'll go from there.
I think really what happens is they're going to find out. The Broncos, when the draft happens, they're going to figure out what Atlanta wants to do well before the 49ers pick. So I think that Denver, probably around, once the draft even starts at pick number one, I think that Denver's going to be on the phones really talking with Atlanta, saying, hey, can we move up? Is it going to be worth it to move up? You know, it really depends on where Atlanta is thinking. But Denver's going to be very active on the phones, and I think that's going to start at the very beginning of the draft. And even leading up to the day before the draft, Denver's going to be on the phone. They're going to gauge and look at every avenue. And I think that for them, they are going to inquire about quarterback. They're going to take a chance at maybe seeing what it would take to move up from nine to maybe four at that point. And we'll see what happens from there. But it really depends on where those teams really want to go.
Cody Rourke, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. And it's hard to get a real sense of, you know, like everybody right now, everybody's playing poker. It's that time of the year. Every front office guy and every head coach are playing poker in regard to what's going to happen with the draft. You just get a sense, at least on the surface from George Payton, that it's tough to get a read, right? Because they passed on Andy Dalton. They passed on Mitchell Trubisky. There are veteran guys out there that they could have brought in that they chose not to because they didn't feel like it was, in their opinion, a clear enough upgrade over what they currently have. More truth that George Payton really likes Drew Lock, or more truth that he's playing his cards close to the vest. They hope to make a deal and they hope to draft a quarterback. You think it's more the first thing, right? That he really does like what he sees from Drew Lock.
I think it's a little bit of both, and what tells me that too. And George has said, you know, here's the deal: Drew's got some intangibles to him. There's things that he does really well, but he has to improve and being more consistent, and obviously his decision making. But you know what he said in his opening press conference is, we're going to be in on every deal. We're going to be aggressive, but we're not going to be reckless. And we've seen that this offseason. When Matthew Stafford became available, the Broncos, they picked up the phone and said, hey, what would it take to be able to bring Matthew Stafford to Denver? And then the Detroit Lions, they countered by saying, hey, we want a first-round pick. We want a second-round pick. We want Drew Lock, and we also want Jerry Jeudy for Matthew Stafford. Denver at that point, they said, no, we're not going to do that. We wanted, you know, the idea was to bring in Matthew Stafford to kind of mold Drew Locke. That was the hope. That's what the Broncos wanted to do when they initially picked up the phone with the Lions. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. So then, you know, they had a couple of exploratory calls. They talked with the Eagles, and they decided that, you know, hey, I think we're better off with Drew Locke than we would be with Carson Wentz. So they didn't pursue any kind of trade with them. Denver, you know, they had exploratory talks about Sam Darnold as well. They heard the price point and said, we're not going to do that. We're going to look at our other options. So it tells me that George Payton sees what Drew Locke has done so far and says, hey, look, he has the potential to maybe be something, but he needs to be pushed a little bit. And this is where I'm not surprised if the Broncos do trade up to try to get a quarterback, Jim. I think that we're going to have a training camp competition between Drew Locke and a rookie, and that's going to be the writing on the wall. You know, this is it for Drew Locke. You know, the pressure is on him. You know, when he's been in Denver, every single day he's been in Denver, he's been at the team facility. Right now he's in Missouri. He's throwing with his own personal trainer, his quarterback trainer right now. But, yeah, I think that we're going to see a lot of these decisions come down the pike. And, Jim, I can tell you this, George Payton has been very tight-lipped on a lot of things right now, which is good because you always see these leaks come out, you know, a week and a half before the draft, and it can ruin your draft board and your plans.
Cody York, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Let's go 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best. On that scale, where do you think it doesn't have to be at number 9. Maybe they trade up with the Falcons to number 4. The chances the Broncos draft a quarterback in the first round, 1 to 10.
I think it's about a 7. Okay. I think we're at a 7 here. You know, because Denver, you know, Jim, Denver's not in a position right now where they have to draft based on a need. That's the good thing about it. They have every option on the table right now. They can trade back if they want to. They can trade up. They can stay put. Denver's okay with either option, but if they really feel comfortable with the guy potentially being there, if they can convince the Atlanta Falcons to trade back, Denver will make that move. If they believe that the guy that they want to move up for is going to be there, they believe that he can maybe be the guy, they're going to do that. If not, they're going to stay put, or if they get the opportunity to receive extra capital, not just this year, but maybe next year and future years, they're also going to look at that as well. But, you know, I think that if the Broncos are looking at anything, Jim, I'd give it about a 7 when it comes to quarterback right now.
Trevor Lawrence will be gone. Zach Wilson gone. All the guys left. Fields, Jones, Lance. If the Broncos draft a quarterback, which one of those three would you like to see in a Denver uniform?
You know, I think for me, just going back and doing my film study, the one player out of those three that you mentioned would be Justin Fields. You know, and he's got a very high cerebral IQ, and there's a lot of reports for some reason leaking out that he doesn't like football, but it's completely untrue. And, you know, Dan Orlovsky had put that out there. This is a guy that, you know, is not, you know, he doesn't seem like he loves football, but he's the one player at Ohio State that was advocating and banging the table for them to be able to play college football this past season. So Justin Fields, I think he has the cerebral IQ to be able to be a very good quarterback. He's got the athletic traits to be able to do some nice things. And he's going to have some refinement along the way. But every quarterback in this year's draft will have to have some refinement along the way because they are rookies. Regardless of what they did at college, the NFL is a different game, and you have to adapt. And I think that Justin Fields is probably more well-equipped than those other two quarterbacks right there opposite of him.
All right, so say it's not a quarterback. Who would Cody York like to see the Broncos take at number 9, non-quarterback offensive side of the football?
Well, you know, I think defensively the options are on the table. I've been a big fan. Jim, I've been watching a lot of Notre Dame film the last couple of weeks, and I tell you what, the idea of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah coming to Denver has been very intriguing to me. You know, Denver, they do need some help at linebacker because Josie Jewell-Alexander-Johnson, this is a contract year for both of those guys, and then they have Justin Sternett on the roster who they believe can be a coverage backer, but you need more depth there. We saw that with Denver. You know, you can never have enough linebacker depth. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah can be a guy that can play inside the slot at some times. You can line him up there. He's that hybrid Kareem Jackson-type player. Now, not necessarily a cornerback, but he's got the ability to be an in-box, off-ball linebacker and a, you know, a safety at the next level, at the third level there. He's got the opportunity and the intangibles to do both of that. And what he was able to do in two seasons at Notre Dame, super impressive. Outside of that cornerback, you know, I'm a big Caleb Farley guy. You know, I think he's the most athletic and, you know, traditionally talented cornerback in this year's draft from an athletic standpoint. But J.C. Horn's not too far behind him as well. That's my cornerback, too. So I think the options are open for Denver. I would be happy with any of those choices that they make. They'd be very fun additions to watch.
So for I get you, your feeling is you would rather see them go defense than offense. Or is there anybody on the offensive side, excluding quarterbacks, that you would take, like a Penei Sewell, that you would take over any of those defensive players?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think for Denver, Jim, in my opinion, the best-case scenario for the Broncos is if Penei Sewell dropped to them in 9. That would be the best-case scenario because then they could lock up a tackle for the next decade with he and obviously having Garrett Bowles and that offensive line. I think it would be really solidified because after this year, Denver is going to be done with Juwan James. Regardless of how he plays this year, there is not a lot of trust inside the organization for James, and we still don't know if, you know, he says he's going to play. We don't know if that's actually going to be the case, though. Denver, they're going to look to the future there. And I think for Penei Sewell, how strong he is, how smart he is, and how much he loves football, and how much of a great teammate he is, and a good player at the tackle position. I think Mike Munchak would have so much fun with him being at that right tackle. He'd have to slide from left tackle to right tackle, though, making that transition. What better way to have it than having Mike Munchak as your O-line coach?
Locked On Broncos podcast host Cody Work with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I just want your thoughts about the announcement that the Broncos put out, the players put out through the NFLPA, and they're not the only one. Seattle, Tampa Bay, your defending Super Bowl champions, their players are all saying that they're going to pass on in-person workouts. The only part of the three-phase offseason workouts is that three-day mandatory camp. The rest of it's voluntary. I guess just your takeaway, I mean, we have guys like J.C. Treader, who's the head of the players' union, plays for the Browns, who has said that he doesn't feel there's the need for in-person off-season workouts. The virtual stuff worked well enough last year dealing with COVID. I guess your takeaway on it and the pros and cons of not having in-person workouts, at least early on this off-season.
Yeah, and you're going to see a lot of people freaking out on social media about them not doing this, saying, oh, they're a 5-11 football team. Well, the difference is voluntary team workouts is bringing 90 players to the facility to do their strength and conditioning program. It's not there's no install. There's no offensive, defensive install sessions. These are workouts. These are, you know, the team strength and conditioning program. Last year, the NFL, they had to send players a $1,500 stipend so they could get their own home gym equipment to be able to implement some of the virtual workouts over Zoom with their strength and conditioning coach. This is actually getting guys into the building. Now, the NFL's plan was saying, hey, you know, here Monday, voluntary team workouts. Everybody come and go straight into sprints. But there was no testing protocol, no testing policy in place. If you've been following Broncos players on social media, various guys have been in and out of the country in the last couple of weeks. And that causes, obviously, an issue when it comes to safety. And not everybody's vaccinated yet. So Brennan McManus, Justin Simmons, Malik Reed, they talked on the NFLPA call with players. Not every player on the Broncos was in agreement with the decision, but they all decided, ultimately, the majority said, hey, you know, these are voluntary workouts. We don't feel like the NFL has put a plan into place to make us safe to be able to come into the team facility. There was no process or protocol. So, Jim, I think that the NFL needs to find a way to make it, you know, more structured and safe, especially as we have OTAs, that mandatory minicamp that's coming up shortly after the NFL draft, to be able to get guys in the building to do the install. That didn't happen last year. They have an opportunity to make that happen this year, and that is what's the most important part, because then it gets the players on the facility, gets them working with their coaches, and it gets them on the field doing install, something that they did not get last year. That's where the hope should be, not angry at voluntary workouts where you're coming in the facility. Players are still in the facility every single day working out. You know, they're coming on their own. But the 90 players, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, for those that are overreacting on this, calm down, people. Calm down. Okay? It's really not that big of a deal. One of our listeners did text in about Peyton Manning spending some time working with Drew Locke. I guess just your takeaway on that. You know, I think it's great that Peyton is doing that, and I know they've had a connection before, Drew and Peyton, in regard to talking, you know, all things quarterback. But it's good that Peyton's doing that, but it doesn't mean that all of a sudden, boom, Drew Locke is going to be the answer at quarterback just because he's been in the same you know, physical space, if you will, with a, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer like Peyton Manning.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're spot on. You know, it's great that he's working with Drew Locke. And Peyton's had a lot of praise for Drew, and they've been in contact. They were in contact all, you know, last year. But this year it's kind of more, a cerebral approach as to how did Peyton Manning prepare for the game, right? And he even reached out to Dalton Reisner, Drew Locke, and said, hey, you know, I want to know a little bit more about protection schemes. I want to go over these with you. I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. He's doing those necessary things. But none of that matters if he can't come out on the football field in training camp, regardless of who's at quarterback competition with him. If he can't do that, you know, there's not going to be a long-term sustainability for him to be the guy. So, you know, it's nice that he's working with Peyton. Hopefully he can gain something out of it. And, you know, maybe we'll see a change in the on-field product, but there's a lot to be determined on that.
Cody Rourke joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Cody, as I mentioned, you host the Locked On Broncos podcast. You can find that where you get your favorite podcast. Anything else you want to tell our listeners about to make sure they need to check out at your site?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously outside of Locked On Broncos in an audio podcast format, I've now moved the podcast. We do it also in video as well on the YouTube channel, Locked On Broncos. You want to watch the video. Sometimes we'll do some live streams. You can share your Broncos thoughts on air. We'll react to it. We'll get you on there as well. But just want to make it more interactive for the fans. So if you like Broncos talk from an objective standpoint, I try to do my best to bring that to you guys there. Locked On Broncos on YouTube.
You do a fantastic job with it. Cody, I always appreciate you coming on the program. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next week, talk a little more draft stuff. Maybe we'll get some idea of where some things are going. Maybe we'll see some some things getting shaken up in the first round of the draft between now and next Wednesday. You never know what's going to happen this time of the year. Cody, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
Take care. Cody Rourke, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. All right. Probably should have asked Cody who he thinks should cast. Cody, if you want, I'll text him later. Hey, Cody, you want to send us who you think should play Elway, should play Wade Phillips?
Right. Have BFM. Him help us cast.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we'll connect and see if he just wants to send, or if he wants to call in tomorrow with his ideas too, he can do that. He's always welcome to call in the program, like you are as well.
Chick-fil-A.
I was meaning the listener, not.
Oh, okay.
Not you. If you're not here, I'm fine. Okay. I don't need you to call in.
I appreciate that.
I'm good. I don't need you to call in. I'm just. Well, somebody asked me, our boss asked me the other day, because we were both off on Monday, if we took a trip together. And I'm like, no, not that I don't mind being around you and hanging out with you, but no.
Exactly. Probably. But if we're on vacation, one or the other or both, we might as well not exist to the other person at that point.
Probably so.
We deal with each other enough inside the building.
5 days, occasionally 6 days.
Yeah. Now,
sometimes 7 days a week.
If said boss wants to send us to, you know, the Super Bowl or the sports radio conference or whatever, then we'll deal with each other on vacation.
Absolutely.
That's different.
Take a little road trip.
But as long as they keep saying no when we ask, then we're going to take our vacation separately.
Absolutely. All right, 941. There's just like, so did you guys go on vacation together? No. No, we did not.
No.
Not that I dislike you. Right. I think an awful lot of you I do.
Yeah, but not just no.
But
hell no.
No. All right, this day in sports history, we go back to 1917. White Sox pitcher Eddie Ciotti throws a no-hitter against the St. Louis Browns. That name has significance because he was the ringleader of the Black Sox scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Considered a very smart pitcher, guy from Detroit, which I know you're going to say, yeah, it's Michigan.
Detroit. Yeah.
No wonder. You
relative.
Know that, no wonder what happened. That
yeah,
he,
not a shock that he was cheating.
But considered one of the smarter pitchers of his era.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, this no-hitter comes a couple of years before the Black Sox scandal in the World Series, where initially when the story came out about the Black Sox scandal, that they did not reveal the identities initially of who were the main leaders of the Black Sox scandal. Shoeless Joe Jackson was referred to in an article as Johnson, and then Ciotti was referred to as Moore. And then eventually people found out, it's two of the game's biggest stars at that time, and Ciotti and most notably Shoeless Joe Jackson that were involved in this whole thing. And it was Ciotti who actually, his confession, that led to what happened with the Black Sox scandal.
Yeah, brought down the whole ring.
Yeah, he actually cracked and told, you know, everybody about what happened and was a pariah, him and Shoeless Joe Jackson, for the rest of their baseball. You know, they were gone from baseball and had that hanging around their necks for the rest of their lives. 1925, a regular season baseball game is broadcast on the radio for the first time as WGN airs a Cubs win over the Pirates. 1931, the Blackhawks fall in the deciding Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final to Montreal. 1962, the now late Elgin Baylor of the Lakers sets an NBA record for points in a finals game. He put up, take a guess, against the Celtics. 1962, when the Celtics were still pretty darn good.
Total points, I'm going to say 71.
A little high, 61.
Ah, close.
In the finals. 1991, Blackhawks become the first NHL team in 20 years to lead the league in points during the regular season, only to lose in the first round. They dropped their series opener, or dropping their series, I should say, against the Minnesota Wild. Well, Minnesota North Stars back at that time, which would become the Dallas Stars, and then there would be the expansion Minnesota Wild. In 1999, Jose Canseco, when he was at Tampa Bay, becomes the 28th player in league history to reach the 400 home run plateau. He's the first player born outside of the U.S. to reach that mark. 2002, Tiger Woods becomes the third golfer in history to record back-to-back Masters wins, finishing three strokes ahead of Retief Goosen. It's a name we've not heard.
Oh, the Goose. Yeah, we haven't heard from him in a long time.
Also, 2019, Tiger Woods wins his fifth Masters title, first major in 11 years, by winning the Masters by one stroke over three golfers. It is Woods' 15th major title and could very well be his last major title, depending on how his recovery goes. All right, 9:45, Jim along with the Buckeye boy. Still time to text or call in today. Who do you think we need to cast? Which individuals from the Broncos Super Bowl 50 championship team do we need to cast in our Blue Steel movie about the Broncos? We'll do all the casting tomorrow. Send that in to us, 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. The Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And Garbage Time's on the way next on the Jim Davis Show.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
.9 Jim Davis along with the Buckeye boy. Jim Rome coming up at 10 this morning. Avalanche, St. Louis Blues on the team tonight. Pregame at 5 o'clock for that one. And then on tomorrow's program, we'll go in the garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan, and also a Tom Sheldon from the Western Colorado Dragway. Drag strip opening up, and we'll have him on tomorrow's program. And so make sure you join us tomorrow. Plus, we'll be casting our Super Bowl 50 film, Blue Steel. So a chance to suggest actors tomorrow. We will nail down who we're casting with some of the suggestions you've brought to us today. And then even some of the names for actors, because some of you have sent us actors as well. We'll throw that into the mix of individuals that'll be, but I don't know about Meryl Streep playing Peyton Manning, Ruben, but
I don't know anybody else right now. I
mean. Yeah, so we'll discuss that.
Yeah.
That'll be part of the conversation tomorrow. Make sure you join us 7 o'clock tomorrow morning on the program. All right, 9:50, and it's time to hop in the dumpster. It's a little garbage time to wrap up the show.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, Kevin Durant's name continues to be out there for all the wrong reasons. Remember the battle he had on the interwebs with Michael Rapaport, Kevin Durant using some language that, not cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that fight, if you will, over what Rapaport had to say about Durant during a press conference.
Right.
Well, Kevin Durant, once again, making news after getting active on Twitter. This time, he's mad at Broncos great Shannon Sharp. Of course, Shannon, Skip,
Skip.
On Fox's Undefeated, or Undisputed, excuse me, I'm thinking another show. Undisputed.
It's the same thing.
Close enough. And that apparently Durant told Rachel Nichols that he's no longer motivated by winning titles and is still driven to become the best possible version of himself that he can be. And that comes with rings. If that comes with the rings, great. If not, Durant did everything he could and won't lose sleep over it. So it was a talking point yesterday that Sharp misquoted Durant. He claimed Durant once said that if LeBron James is the greatest player of all time and Durant beat him in the finals twice, what does that make Durant? Well, Durant never said that. That's a problem. And so Kevin Durant went after Shannon Sharp. Shannon went on TV responding to this quote like, I actually said this. Gullible fans will believe it or say, you was thinking this anyway? It's comedy at this point. Is it a case where Kevin Durant just needs to maybe stay off social media for a while? I get it. He's upset. Sharp misquoted him. I get that. But I'm just getting this feeling that Kevin Durant is very, very, getting very dialed in to being a keyboard warrior guy, to being a Twitter guy, to constantly be out there. And okay, like I said, I understand his frustration with Sharp. He misquoted him. But it seems like Kevin Durant is very, very thin-skinned about the media.
Yeah.
And that's what Michael Rapoport was trying to bring to the conversation.
I am absolutely not 0% a shut-up-and-dribble guy for athletes or wherever, whatever.
Same here.
But for Kevin Durant, he kind of needs to shut up and just play basketball.
Just
right?
Go play, dude.
Yeah, man. Not necessarily garbage time-ish, but we have official announcements from Bracketpalooza.
Oh, we do. Very good.
Yes.
Oh, well, hold on just one second. We will do it here.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
All right. Third place with a $100 gift certificate courtesy of Bookcliff Gardens, Jim Landis. Congratulations. Second place, the full-size indoor basketball hoop and outdoor grill. Don't get those confused. Courtesy of our friends over at Bud Light, Diane Carlotto. Congratulations.
Way to go.
First place, the Holman House swivel chair from England, courtesy of Holman House, Josh Aubert. Congratulations.
Way
to
go.
Two. Aubert won like a third, had to go to the third tier tiebreaker to win over Diane. That's really, really close. All three, by the way, had bonus points.
So
paid off to show up to Bracketpalooza, and the winner of the DJ bracket, again, with the now official results somehow, was Jim Davis. And Phil was drawn as the lucky winner of $100 cash.
So according to them, I won.
Yes, according to them. So some statistical errors in their software somewhere. Because I thought it showed me take the lead the day after the championship game. And then it came back officially as you won. So, not sure how that happened, but it's a result I'm willing to live with. I picked the champion right, and I will forever have that in my back pocket.
But we had a non-biased arbiter,
allegedly,
in this whole thing that said that I won. So, I'm going to go with what they said.
So, Phil Divilbest with $100 cashola.
Congratulations, yeah. Phil. Thanks for picking my bracket, by the way. You picked the winner. Congratulations. And everybody else.
Yes.
Josh, Diane, and Jim, correct?
Yep. Josh, Diane, and Jim, 1, 2, 3. And Paul correctly identifying the year 2018, the last time the Rockies got shut out in back-to-back games. That's a half ton of fun, bowler, Paul.
And also for Qdoba today. Did you pick a winner? It's going to be Ruben?
Ruben.
With his Meryl Streep suggestion of playing Peyton Manning. All right, so join us tomorrow. We'll cast Blue Steel, the Super Bowl 50 film, on tomorrow's show.